You're listening to another 2020 podcast from AndroidGuys.com. Android Guys, the most trusted site for Android news and opinion.
Hello, this is Scott and Jamie. We're going to do the second half of the podcast, or the first half, depending on which order you want to listen to this. The last thing we talked about was form factor with the couple of phones we've seen so far with Android. We've seen the OpenMoco phone a little bit, even, you know, going back to last year, but more recently it's getting some more headlines because it's going to be capable of running Linux, or does run Linux, and will this compete with Android? You know, we're seeing headlines like that. What do you think of that from a standpoint of form factor?
It looks a little better than what I've seen from the Android side, you know, as far as difference. I mean,
it's unique.
Uniqueness, yeah. It was oval, like an egg almost.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it.
Really rounded, too.
Yeah, the whole thing, if you look at it from the front on, the shadow of it would be almost like a perfect oval or egg-shaped. It's, I don't know how practical it would be to have something like that rounded. You know, I don't stand my phone up, but I don't know. It's just, you know, a couple years ago with Nokia, they had that 3600 series of phones where it was all squared off except in the bottom was completely rounded. It almost looked like it had a rotary dial on it for a while. That type of thing just, to me, never seemed like, it never appealed to me because of that shape.
Now, we only saw one picture of it, though, you know, and that was in the front.
Right.
So I'd like to get an idea of how deep it was and how thin it was and, you know, some actual dimensions of it before I made a decision. But I see what you're saying. It's nice, easy to grip and hold on to with around the edges.
The screenshots of the actual software, I like that. I like the way it looks, you know, laying out the menu, the navigation. You know, we're getting into, you know, with the Nokias, you know, the Symbian, with, you know, the different types of skins you can throw on even a Windows mobile phone. You're getting so many different ways of navigating throughout your phone. BlackBerry looks, you know, very similar to it did when it started, but it's changed over time. The icons, the way you access certain features and services on your phone.
Right.
I don't want to relearn something because I've used mobile, you know, 5 for so long, but I'm not opposed to it. As long as I...
What would you need to relearn, though? I mean,
as long as it feels...
Based on a form factor.
I think from a matter of if it's more touch-based, I'll be okay with that.
Gotcha.
But if it becomes buttons and navigation, right. Do I push the middle button to select, or do I do left, you know, or the right button? What are the hot keys? I think the transition, you know, we heard a little bit about this with Windows 7, Mobile 7, that you're hearing a little bit about with the CES this week. The touch-based screens, that to me will feel more intuitive, and I hopefully with Linux or Android, you know, that type of thing will be more user-friendly. Like Apple's iPhone,
so are you saying with a stylus or with
fingers?
Your fingers.
Stylus, you could do a stylus. That device to me doesn't look like it's going to be. I don't know that it's touchscreen, and I feel really stupid for not knowing that right now. I can't think in my mind that it is.
I probably would be touchscreen. That was my impression that it was touchscreen. Yeah.
We'll
dig into that and find out.
But from a standpoint of, you know, the next wave of phones, did Apple pretty much throw it down and say, look, you know, the future is being able to touch and navigate, drag, you know, move stuff around rather than click and use the D-pad on phones?
Sure.
You know, that... You can get rid of the buttons, you gain more space. You can put a bigger screen on your device.
Definitely.
Without making a bigger device for your pocket or your purse. I think that by going with a touch-based phone, even if you have a stylus built into it like a lot of, you know, the HTC phones that are out there now, or the older ones, I should say, that's much easier to navigate, I think, and to learn, to pick up, because you're picking up more and more smartphone users faster than you are regular cell phone users now, because people are wanting that technology. My wife is actually saying, I want a smartphone. You know, she's running the T-Mobile wing. She's starting to learn a little bit about what Android is. She's actually interested in it now and wants to learn about what's coming out, who's doing what. For me to take her from a Windows, 6 device and say, okay, now here's what you have to relearn, I think that less buttons will be better. And with the Apple iPhone and the iPod Touch, no buttons on that thing except for the one, basically. Put that stuff out there, make the icons, and make it just real obvious as to what you're doing, how you're getting around. And I think that comes back to the basic setup, with Android. What do you do to get around? We've seen just a couple of screenshots with that simple, navigation, getting into your email, getting into your documents, right, and so forth. The OpenMocha device, I think, is going to be, I think it's cool, but I start evaluating it from a standpoint of, will I ever see one of these in real life? Am I going to run into somebody that's going to have one of these? Where do you buy one? How are they going to, that's where it comes in with Google. They pick up the ball and say, we can distribute this thing. We've already got T-Mobile and Sprint and then Verizon saying that we have an open network or plan to open it. Those are channels to distribute that stuff. And I don't see anything saying that they're going to carry this Neo, 1973 or the Free Runner.
Well, you think about it, though. Google's competition isn't really Apple. You know what I mean?
Right.
Apple is, they're hardware-based. Google is ad-based, not the same. So with the hopes of a Google phone, I wasn't even really sure how that came about. A Google phone should compete with the iPhone, It didn't make sense on Google's part to do that to begin with. So
I don't know how the hype got built up that Google was going to come out
with Apple.
A G phone.
Yeah.
They've never done anything hardware.
No.
And I don't know why that would have been. I think that stuff feeds itself and fed itself leading up into it, that Google was doing something with cell phones.
Now, as it turns out, Google is putting their software on the iPhone.
Yeah, they're testing.
Definitely the way to go.
I think they're backdoor testing everything,
yep,
with some of their applications, some of the stuff that people are doing with the iPhone. They're guinea pigs, and I don't think they realize that. And I think that secretly Google's trying to figure out what people want from a demand standpoint, how to implement the software, what's the easiest software, what are people using, what are they adopting, what are they asking for. And I think that ultimately that will transition into the devices that are going to run Android. They've already got, the development kit, I think it's called WebKit. It's the same for the iPhone platform as it is for Android. So it should be a matter of, not for developers, but for Google to put their services. You go to google.com on your device, and all of a sudden, here's a button for your mail. Here's a button for your documents. Here's, not a button, but an icon.
Right.
Here's an icon to access your Blogger account. Here's a button to get into your Google groups that you subscribe to. So
now, those are widgets, right?
Well, they're not really widgets on the iPhone, because you're just accessing it. A widget is more along the lines of something that...
So it's not a program, man. It's just a...
It's an interface with Google.
It's a web page, basically.
But it's...
It has radio buttons on it to access.
Within the device, yeah. So it feels like the iPhone.
So, and it's kind of off track, but can't current phones do that with Google right now? If I log on to Google with my BlackBerry or my N95, I can access my email from there. I can search the news. I can, what separates what the iPhone is doing? As far as Google goes,
From the pictures, it looks like it just becomes, it integrates into Apple, feels the same as everything else.
Same fonts and
the same icons and where you look for things. It's just the intuitive feel of you're doing the iPhone stuff.
Right.
That
would make sense.
And I think that could be a matter of skinning something.
That's what I was thinking. It's just a shell. I think they run there, and the same as I have on my phone,
Yeah.
It just looks differently.
The stuff I'm running on mine is not the standard Windows Mobile, but I like it because the icons are better, stuff is animated, the colors are sharper, it just looks like something different. And I change it every couple of, you know, months, just because I don't want to keep looking at the same thing. And I look forward to Android from a perspective of being able to change it, type of thing. Having something that's open source to begin with, you know, anybody can sit down in their basement and create skins, you know. So
getting back to the OpenMoco, the handset itself, aside from the form factor and the oval shape, the hardware specs were pretty beefy, you know, for a next-gen phone. 500 megahertz processor, 2D, 3D accelerated graphics, you know.
Yeah, that's the same as my actual desktop that I have at home and still use for, you know, web browsing and a few things. But from a phone?
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
That's, yeah. You know, and we'll talk about Qualcomm today was showing off, and if you go to geek.com, this guy had some, he got to play with or see some new, I guess you would call them platforms, Anchorage and Fairbanks. The Fairbanks is more for GPS. It looks like you just took a GPS unit and slapped on a couple of features. You know, a card, micro card, a camera, those types of things.
Right.
But the Anchorage, there's pictures on there, and you can see one of the pictures on our website. The Anchorage device was running a gigahertz processor on this thing, and it's a phone.
That's crazy.
You know, so a gigahertz processor, and then it also has, you know, you're looking at, you know, 2 megapixel minimum cameras now. You know, you're looking at 3D graphics. Is that going to be what we come to expect from Android phones or from smartphones later this year?
I don't know about later this year, but down the road. And here's why I say not later this year. My N95, it's a powerful phone. Everybody will acknowledge that. But the battery life on this device is nowhere near optimal. It's not optimal at all. I mean, so unless battery technology increases or improves in the next 5 or 6 mm-hmm. months, I don't see a device of that, you know, capacity mass marketed. You know what I mean?
Well, and as we transition into mobile internet devices, and not so much phones, you have a device that you have your movies, you have your games. You know, we're going to be putting video games onto these devices now, and we're not talking like
Nokia's Engage launches pretty soon.
Right, and now look at, you know, Nvidia is part of the handset alliance, so you know they're going to bring it. You know, how much is that going to eat our batteries?
Yeah, that's my reservation as far as the gigahertz processor is awesome, but in reality, I mean, it's not possible right now on the phone. It's just not possible, you know, and to have it run for at least 8 hours in that day, it's not going to happen. I mean,
right,
unless it's something we don't know. Which is possible, but not likely.
I don't know any of the Handset Alliance guys that they're bringing batteries to the table, the technology for that. We'll see.
I don't know. It'd be nice to have, though.
Yeah. Speaking of learning more about the Handset Alliance, I wanted to touch on this real quick. Jordan from Fandroid.net, if you guys are visiting the site this week, we're doing a 34 weeks of Open Handset Alliance news. Now, this started out as a segment on Fandroid.net. Jordan was doing a 34 days of Open Handset Alliance news where he was going to profile one member a day on what they bring to the table, where they've come from, you know, what they might do for Android, what they, you know, what their background is and so forth, and any other relative information. He contacted us. We talked a couple of times through emails about him possibly writing or coming on with us as, you know, as a guest writer and so forth. But ultimately what happened is he's now writing his 34 days article as 34 weeks. So once a week for the next 34 weeks, Jordan is going to stop by and he's going to write an article. This week or today we threw up Aplix. I guess that's how you pronounce it. So we're going to learn, and these are things that I look forward to, learning what some of these guys bring to the table. Maybe there's some things out there that we don't know. You
sure.
know, as a fan, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm well-versed. You know, just because you love Star Wars doesn't mean you know everything about every character. So I'm interested in learning that. And if you guys want to check out another good site, it's fandroid.net. He's got some good articles, and he does share some love back towards our way. He's done that recently. So thanks to him. We look forward to getting this article up, you know, on a weekly basis. So
first one looks great. Check it out. Take a look at it. It looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, he definitely expounded upon it, made it much bigger. And it's definitely worth a read. It just takes a few minutes, but you can kind of get a feel for what's going to happen with that. You want to talk any more about the hardware on any of the phones that we've seen or software?
Not much has been announced as far as hardware goes on Android-based phones. I mean,
but not necessarily Android. Looking at like the Qualcomm. Oh, one more thing about that. The article goes on to say that HTC and Samsung are already on board with this chipset or platform. Now, these are basically prototypes, like going to a car show and seeing this car. It may not be out for another 2 years. They're saying that this could be out by end of 2008, early 2009, and HTC and Samsung are on board with this. And we know that all three of these companies are Open Handset Alliance partners, so looks good to me. I mean, the pieces fit, whether it's going to be something that's, you know, running a different platform or not, it's hard to say. I want to take the last few minutes and just kind of predict or project the next 30 days, 90, you know, 180 or whatever. What do you think? I mean, we're looking at, theoretically, when they say second half of 2008 for Android to hit the streets, that's, we're in that 180-day window now.
Yep.
Do you still see that?
I do. You know, we haven't seen any concrete results from the carriers. I think we're on track.
And you also cushion yourself with another 180 days on top of that. So they gave themselves a year, and it's not going to be like you go to the store and there's a whole line to choose from in 18, you know, at T-Mobile. And
right, I mean,
it could be one or two phones.
Yeah, per carrier, what do we have? Yeah, T-Mobile
and Sprint.
Sprint.
Well, and then Verizon says they'll carry as long as it's approved.
I'm expecting maybe at the most two offerings per carrier, and even then, I'm kind of hedging on that. I'd say one from T-Mobile for sure, and maybe one from Sprint in the first offering, the first go around.
Is that from HTC or one from Motorola, and then maybe Sprint's carrying a Samsung model?
I'm guessing that T-Mobile's going to go with HTC as far as their first offering. Just a hunch that I have. Motorola, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a low end phone, I think. I mean,
are we done seeing clamshell phones?
I don't think so, man. I mean, they're still very popular, and they're still the desired form factor too for the majority of the public. You know?
Right.
Slider phones are nice, but everybody doesn't like them. The keypads are crunched for texting, you know. And the candy bar phones, those are, for what they are, I mean, people still like them for whatever reason. They're compact and tiny. So, but the flip phone is the way to go for most people, at least.
With the SDA that T-Mobile carried for a while, that had Windows Mobile in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that thing was like, it was a candy bar.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's by definition, that's a smartphone.
It was a smartphone, definitely.
So that doesn't mean we're going to be seeing these devices like the T-Mobile Shadow.
No.
And the
no.
Wing only. We could, you know, an Android-based phone could come in any shape.
Sure. I think that's good, though. I mean, that's variety, and it's going to take variety to carry this platform, you know. You don't want to be pigeonholed into one device and one design.
Right.
You're not going to attract a lot of people that way, so.
My wife, she's been using Windows from a T-Mobile Dash and now the Wing for the better part of the last year and a half. But she says to me every so often that she really wishes she had a flip phone. Like, she just loves a flip phone.
Mm-hmm.
But I talked to her a little bit, and I convinced her that she'll lose a lot of what she does on her phone.
You do.
You know, and she went from the Dash to a pocket PC base now where she can touch the screen. She's going to have a hard time going away from something that she can't touch now, like to play, you know, even a Bubbles game or do stuff. Going, you know, back to a clamshell phone, I think that design would be good for somebody who's never had a phone or upgrading from a regular phone to a smartphone.
Well, keep in mind with design, though, that One of Google's what they wanted to make sure of when they launched Android was that these phones made it easier to browse the web. You know what I mean? I mean, so you don't want to browse open a tiny flip phone screen, you know?
Right.
Would that leave room for their advertising or even their other programs are going to run?
Well, I think that we're going to see screens get bigger and eat up more of the phone and get away from buttons. But I think when you get into clamshell designs, you're still going to see those buttons that you come to expect.
So maybe the clamshell isn't the way to go for Android then.
Maybe, maybe not. I mean, you can still get into the non-touch screen base, like the SDA, where you can still get into your email, get into your web, you can get into your pictures and video and do those things. But
the screen
was
so tiny, though.
Yeah.
I mean, and browsing the web on that screen was pretty much impossible. I mean, it was not a pleasant experience, you know.
Now you can't throw the web and then throw in your ads in there.
Absolutely.
There's nowhere to put it.
Yeah, so I don't know how that's going to work out. We don't even know how they're going to push their ads anyway to these phones.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see, you know, Google doesn't have a, they haven't come out and said what they're basically, they're in it for customer satisfaction right now.
Right.
But at some point, we're going to find out their end game.
You know, to be honest, more so than hardware, I'm more interested in seeing how they actually implement their service model with the carrier service model, and if there's any clashing there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it could be interesting because now you're looking at who's going to push harder.
Absolutely.
These who networks
say,
who are...
Well, we're going to give you this phone at this price or whatever, but you've got to have it boot up with Google on it for whatever on the boot up screen or
right.
Who knows? I'm more interested in seeing that than the phones themselves. I mean, the phones are phones. And
how soon do you think, you know, in wrapping this up, how soon do you think we'll find out that type of stuff?
I would hope in the next 90 days, to be honest with you. I mean, you can't just launch it and then throw it out there. You got to roll that out gradually. So I would hope in the next 90 days we start hearing something about the business models.
Right.
Both sides, carriers and Google.
Who's going to do what and how these carriers that are so used to having this walled garden and restriction to this is our way, this is what
right.
we do. If you come to our service, here's what you get. It'll be fun to watch.
Now, you have to believe that going into the OHA as members, they knew what Google was trying to do. So they won't be shell-shocked when Google says, okay. So I think they already know what Google has in mind, and
right.
they're on board with it. Obviously, they joined the OHA, so they're on board with it.
Yeah. Do you think that we'll hear between now and the next 60 or 90, even the next 6 months, more people joining on officially or unofficially with the Handset Alliance?
I don't see why not. I mean, they won't be part of the first launch, obviously. I mean, a little too late for that, but there's always room for a carrier, though. I mean, you know.
There's always room for somebody to say, okay,
absolutely.
We'll allow it.
Yeah,
but not necessarily have to bring something to the table.
Right, and for that, member or not, you can do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So.
Could be fun. I think that's going to wrap it up. This is Jamie and Scott, Android Guys, and we'll see you guys again soon.
Android Guys, the most trusted site for Android news and opinion.